Amen. Amen to that. Praise the one who made an end to all our sin. That's what we're here to do this morning. Well, good to be with you. We are thinking this morning about this question, what is church? What is church? I wonder if you found yourself asking that during these YouTube service socially distanced times we live in. What is church? Do we buy into society's view? Church is just a book club that's been stuck on one book for centuries. My own mind is my church. Well, church is whatever live stream I tune into this week. Is that church? In this passage, do have it open in front of you, Paul the Apostle fighting the false teachers at Colossae by proclaiming our identity in Christ paints a very different picture of what the worldwide church, the Colossian church, Cambrai Baptist Church is and what it looks like in action. Can we see verse 12? We are, in fact, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Verse 15, we are members of one body, as we've already prayed this morning, called to peace. We are, verse 14 probably reads, believers bound together in love to make a perfect unity. That is what church is, which might seem incredible if we're having to shield and to watch this in our living room. So this morning we're invited to consider from selected parts of this text what Jesus has done for his people and how that defines what church should look like. I'll try to stick to the 15 minutes I've been given, remembering, as one person said, that there's a fine line between a long, drawn-out sermon and a hostage situation. So let's start with verses 1 to 4. Which say, because he raised us, we look up, we look to things above. Verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So if you plural, yous, like they say in Liverpool, if you all belong to the Messiah, you have a new identity. Verse 3, his death on the cross is your death. Verse 1, his past resurrection is your resurrection, even as you await your future bodily resurrection, when he appears, verse 4, to rule and reign in the glorious new creation. You see, being part of the worldwide church does not simply make you a respectable person with, in this country, good access to Church of England primary schools. No, it makes you fundamentally different from someone else, because the age of new creation that reaches its fulfillment when Jesus returns has already been launched in Jesus' being raised. And if you belong to him, new creation, new identity has already begun in you. And if that's true, our hearts, verse 1, and our minds, verse 2, must be set on things above, things that pertain to this new creation we have in the Messiah, not to things below, earthly things. Now, earthly things are not the mundanity of life, like, oh, this week my fridge stopped working. But rather, earthly things are detailed in the horror lists of verse 5 and verse 8. But in contrast to those things that we're not going to spend a long time looking at, what does looking up, seeking things above, actually mean? You may have heard of someone being so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. But the idea here is the opposite, really. Setting ourselves on things above does not disengage us from God's earth, but it makes us understand and interpret all that happens on earth through a proper new creation perspective, seeing things in God terms. Here's a trivial example. An itinerant preacher in South Wales asked one Sunday morning for directions to where he was to preach. And he was told by a helpful man, you go down here to the Black Lion, left at the King's Head, first right at Ladbrokes, and then it's opposite the Money Shop. And that evening he was preaching somewhere else in the same town. And the person he asked then for directions happened to be a believer who said, Bethel Chapel. Which one's that? Oh, yes, you go straight on till you pass Carmel Chapel on your right and Hermon on your left. Take a right until you reach Berea, and Bethel's at the end near Shiloh and Hebron. The point is not think in terms of Old Testament Welsh chapels, but rather interpret the world around you in biblical terms, new creation terms. Understand things from a heavenly perspective. Because God never intended us to go through each day in drudgery, did he? Doing the same thing and thinking the same thoughts as the unbelieving world around us. No, as the church, we're encouraged in our hearts and in our minds to look up. To look up. Being in the church scattered throughout the week means punctuating each day with thankfulness to God. When we face a tough situation at home or at work, think about that situation from the perspective of the completed new creation, looking back. Whilst being the church gathered means coming together, seeing each other regularly to celebrate, yes, celebrate our new creation life in the Messiah, even in times of social restriction. For you have been raised, and you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in the glory of the new creation. So that's because he raised us, look up. But let's look now, second, at the other picture of what church is all about in these verses. And that's because he chose us, we love the family of God. Because he chose us, we love the family of God. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Have you ever heard someone say, I love my church, I just don't like the people? Paul, speaking by the Holy Spirit, says the church is the people. Using Old Testament language, God's chosen people, made holy by God, loved by God, made up not just of Old Testament Israel, but transcending the boundaries of religious background and social status and ethnicity. And because God has chosen his church to be his church, actually his standards are very high in how we treat each other. It's a Colossians 3:12 movement called Christian Lives Matter. In contrast, of course, to the atheist movement, No Lives Matter. But here, because we're chosen, it matters how God's people treat the rest of God's family. Picking up the language of 9 and 10, taking off and putting on, we're told to put our clothes on. Yes, you, if you're watching this live streaming in your pajamas, clothe yourselves with compassion, clothe yourself with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Don't know about you, but during lockdown, when there's no one around to be compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, and patient to, I found these things really easy. But as soon as you introduce one another, that's when it gets hard. But that's the point. We can only practice these virtues relative to one another. That's the church being the church, relative to the people here. Look around. God gives us church because we need it. He doesn't need anything, but we need it so that we can bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances we may have against each other. So often we read verse 13 from the ENV. Do not bear with each other and do not say sorry. Harbour grudges and sooner leave the church than forgive. That's the ENV. From verse 5, the earthly nature version. But no, church life is about forgiving as the Lord forgave you. That's the real test of the church being the church. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Forgiveness is not for those with weak stomachs. You might say, but you don't know what that person did to me. But God knows what you did, and he still forgives you. There's an old Wesley hymn, Christ from whom all blessings flow, that starts a verse, sweetly may we all agree, which is great when it happens, but is it really realistic to expect that we'll all agree all the time? In contrast, Paul here is a realist about the Colossae church and about every church. He would say, sweetly may we disagree. The church shows it's the church, God's chosen people, by how we treat one another when we disagree. Which is why over all these virtues, 14, we are to dress up in, put on, love. There is no them in the Greek, so it probably means love binds us all together in perfect unity. And relatedly, 15, this perfect unity is expressed as members of one body being called to peace. Elsewhere in Colossians, peace is the cosmic restoration prophesied in the Old Testament, launched in the Messiah's work on the cross. And here, because of that future renewal of all things, peace in the church now is the umpire, the decisive factor, the overriding principle when it comes to arguments in the church. It says, yes, peace says, yes, your viewpoint is important, but peace with each other is even more important. Peace the umpire. So be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, not three mutually exclusive categories there, with gratitude in your hearts to God. What a picture that is. Love, peace,
thankfulness, teaching one another, singing, whichever way we can at the moment, not for our own personal bless-up, but with thankfulness to God for the edification of one another. That's church. That's God's chosen people, looking out for and loving one another. That's God's raised people looking up, not down, as we share the news of his kingdom. And that's God's plan for God's world. Yes, no church is perfect. We're all a work in progress, but that's why we have one another. Church is, after all, a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. But still, the local church is the hope of the world. It is not a place, it is not a building, it's a body. That means it's a family with blood ties to Jesus. So as God's raised people, look up, not down. As God's chosen people, love the family of God. A moment of quiet to consider precisely how God is asking you to do that in these strange times we're living in.